And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Some time ago, there was a song that I would frequently sing with the small children. It was the song Zacchaeus. And that song went, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree, Jesus for to see. And when Jesus came that way and looked up and saw Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide at your house this day. Children through the years have loved that little song because they were amused at this little man of stature who wanted so desperately to see Jesus and because of his stature could not. And so he climbed up in that tree in order to see Jesus. I want to note with you today from the scripture read earlier in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. That 10th verse said, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus said that because when he went home with Zacchaeus, as he planned to do, that there were those who murmured and said, He's gone home with a man who is a sinner. But Jesus doesn't see people as we often do. Our Lord understands and recognizes things that we don't. And so here was a man that was despised by the crowd, but loved by Jesus. Here was a man that so many were so much against him, and yet the one person that really had an encounter with Jesus that day. Let's notice the person Zacchaeus. His name. Men are not always like their names. He has a Hebrew name with a Greek termination, and it signifies peer. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, A good name is better than precious ointment. I believe that every child has a right to be well born. That every child has a right to have a good name. And those of us who have been born into families that at least have been the kind of people that gave us a good name, we need to be sure that we keep that name untarnished and that we have a good name. We continue to have a good name. There's a lot of difference in reputation and character. Reputation is what people think about us. They didn't think very much of Zacchaeus. They thought, here's the biggest scoundrel probably in Jericho or all that region around. As far as his reputation was concerned, it was at the very bottom. Reputation's what people think about us. But character is what a person is. And you see, Jesus knew more about Zacchaeus than the other people did. Jesus knew what Zacchaeus was. That's what character is. Some people may have a good reputation and a bad character. Now sometimes the reputation will eventually catch up with a person. It may be for a long time that someone may live and folks may think of them quite highly. And it may take a long time before that character to really be known. But character is what a person is. Zacchaeus' social standing was, in verse 2, he was a chief tax collector. Now the indication is that as far as his job was concerned, it was a very good job, a very prominent job, but probably came about because of not the purity of his life, but rather because of his money. No doubt you realize that during Jesus' day, that Palestine was controlled by Rome. Now, generally speaking, the Romans didn't care about the Jews as far as their worship was concerned, as long as Rome got their taxes. Rome would sell a franchise, a certain area, to someone for a set amount of money. That person would pay the Roman Senate that amount of money. And then he would try to recover his money plus whatever additional amount he desired to do so from taxes of the people. And so most tax collectors would just get everything they possibly could out of the people because of their greed. They want to make an exorbitant profit. And so sometimes they would just be unreasonable indeed. And so you can see why they were despised. Why folks thought of them in the very worst kind of way. Now, they weren't always all that bad. Some of them were. And because some were, then just about all were lumped in the same package. I don't think we've changed very much today. I think most people who work for the IRS are not the most loved and appreciated people. Now, they may be doing a good job. They may be doing a good work. But I think that if you would talk with those who are employed by the Internal Revenue Service, that they would say, generally speaking, folks just do not esteem them the very highest. Not because they do anything wrong. They follow the law, and that's all that they can do. But yet, because they are associated with a system that some folks think of as deplorable, then this is the attitude. Of course, all of us need to realize that in order to live in a land of the free and the home of the brave, that there are certain responsibilities and obligations. We couldn't have this great land in which we live without there being the necessity of taxation. It'd be impossible. Many agencies and things that it's so necessary. But I think we can understand how those connected with taxation are generally thought of, and yet there are laws that are followed. Now, in Jesus' day, there were not those rigid laws like we have today. And so the tax collector could try to get everything he possibly could out of those in his jurisdiction. Thus he was an extremely unpopular person. But Zacchaeus was a man who was prompt and persevering. He knew how to handle an opportunity. An old Latin maxim says, opportunity has hair in front, but behind is bald. And if you seize the forelocks, you may hold on, but if suffered to escape, not even Jupiter, and that was their heathen god, could catch her. Opportunity is something that you have to take while it's coming in our direction. Zacchaeus was one that did that. When he heard or knew about Jesus coming through Jericho, verse 3 tells us, he wanted to see Jesus who he was. Now there were thousands who had seen him. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus who he was. He wasn't concerned about hearsay. He wasn't interested in secondhand information. He personally wanted to see Jesus. Luke says that he was of short stature, and because of the press of the crowd, he was not able to see Jesus, and so he ran ahead, climbed up in the sycamore tree, and then when Jesus passed by, he was able to see him. Zacchaeus wasn't one of those that wallowed in self-pity. He wasn't one of those that said, because of circumstances or because of situation, I cannot see Jesus. You know, some of us blame our failures and blame our mistakes upon situations. Or we blame it upon circumstances. We want to pass the buck and we want the responsibility or the blame to be on someone else. Zacchaeus was not this kind of person. Rather than wallowing in self-pity, because he wasn't taller, because he could not see Jesus, he overcame the obstacle by doing the thing that he could do in order to see Jesus. He wasn't one of those that gave up. He was determined to see Jesus who he was. Not ask someone about him, not inquire, but personally to encounter Jesus himself. Then secondly, we see the action of Jesus, the movement of Jesus. In verse 5 of Luke 19, he says that Jesus came to the place where he was. Now this is what Jesus always does. Jesus always comes to the place. No man ever yet started with full purpose to see Christ and failed. Now we may have some who look without seeing, but every person who is vitally interested in encountering or seeing or knowing Jesus will do so. I don't understand, but Jesus said in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man will do, he shall know. Now that's a promise from Jesus Himself. I don't understand all of the ways that the Lord is going to implement or carry that out. I know in Acts 8, there was a man, a treasurer from Ethiopia, who had been down to Jerusalem to worship, and he was riding along reading from the Scripture, Isaiah 53. And I know the Lord sent Philip, the evangelist, and he joined himself to that chariot and he taught that man the Word of God. I don't know all the ways, all the means that the Lord's going to use. But I know Jesus said, if any man will do His will, he shall know. You know, sometimes we get all pent up on the fact, now what's the Lord going to do with this person or that person or some other person? I'm not half as concerned what the Lord's going to do with them as I am about what He's going to do with us. Those of us who know His Word, know His will, and ought to share His message to those who do not know it. And I have the promise that if any man will do his will, he shall know. I believe what Jesus said. And I know that the gospel and the gospel only will save. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel is God's power to save. That's the only power that God has to save. It's not the only power God has. God's power can be exemplified, can be seen in many ways. God exemplifies His power in vegetation, in the plants that grow, in the flowers that bloom. He exemplifies His power in the sunshine and the rain. But God's only power to save is the gospel. But how? Or by what means? Or through whom? The Lord is going to send that message, whether by means of the airwaves, of radio, or television, some printed religious material, some person speaking personally to someone, or all the means that the Lord uses. I may not know, but I know that gospel is the only thing. And I know that if any man will do His will, he shall know. If any man will do His will, he shall know. Here was Zacchaeus, person despised by the crowd, looked down upon and thought of as being nothing more than a scoundrel. He wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus came to where he was. In his sincere, longing, seeking, searching soul, I can say to you today that Jesus will come where He is. He'll send the message. He'll see that the truth goes, not saving someone miraculously. Every person that's saved is saved the same way, by obeying the gospel only. But the Lord will make possible for those who would know and those who would do His will that they do. And when Jesus saw him, when he came to the place where he was, he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide in your house this day." Verse 5. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. You know, sometimes folks think, and generally I suppose, as far as etiquette is concerned, Emily Post, Amy Vanderbilt, and others would probably say, "You don't invite yourself." But the Lord was concerned about seeking and saving the lost. The Lord wasn't concerned about etiquette. I'm not meaning the Lord ran roughshod over all principles and guidelines. I'm simply saying that Jesus did something that this man probably would not have done. No doubt Zacchaeus was thrilled and delighted. He came down joyfully because Jesus was going on with him. But I doubt very seriously if he would have had the audacity to have asked Jesus, the Son of God, "Jesus, go home with me." He probably thought it's enough to see Jesus. And I'll be blessed to see him. And I'll be overly blessed if he recognizes me. But with no expectation. Probably that's the reason. Jesus invites himself to the house of Zacchaeus. Something that may be a little bit unusual, but yet something that needed to be, because this man would not have done so himself, quite likely not that soon. "Make haste, Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide in your house this day." Not next month, not next year, but now. To wait is somewhat like a man wishing to cross a river and then resting on its bank until the water would run past. We say that'd be foolish, ridiculous, absurd, because the water won't all run past. It'll continue to flow, and he could wait and wait and wait. But Zacchaeus made haste that day and went with Jesus. Sin is like fire. It may be soon quenched when it just starts. Cold water may destroy the fire when it just begins, but let it burn a few hours, and perhaps a city block or maybe a whole area is laid waste. Sin's like a river. The further from the fountain, the greater the volume. I understand up in Minnesota where the great and the mighty Mississippi begins. that you could step over it without any problem. But you can't when you get down to Memphis or other areas. We know how large and how great that mighty river is. But at its beginning point, it's nothing. But as tributary after tributary joins with it in its southern flow, it becomes a tremendous body of water. That's the way it is. In its beginning, in its start of some particular sin, it may be eradicated. But as it gets a hold on a person, as habits are formed over years, over long periods of time, then it may be impossible later. 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul says that a man's conscience can be seared as with a hot iron to where he is insensitive and not recognizing and not realizing. It may be impossible later. Any time a person can repent, God can forgive. But it may be that some people live in sin so long that they get to the point that they cannot repent. And then Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Come down. Zacchaeus, come from where you are because I want to go home with you." In many ways, if we're going to serve Jesus, we're going to have to come down, not out of sycamore trees, but out of a feeling of our own self-importance, out of a feeling of our superiority, and we're going to have to humble ourselves and realize that we are sinners, that we're lost, that we need the forgiveness of Jesus. We're going to have to humble ourselves and recognize our need. And then lastly, there was the attitude of Zacchaeus. His attitude was in doing good promptly. He didn't wait. And even though the crowd murmured and said, "Now, he's going home with a man who's a sinner." Well, that just filled that crowd. Zacchaeus aware of how the people felt about it. And probably in some degree in defense of himself before Jesus, he said in verse 8, "Half of my goods I give to feed the poor. And if I've taken anything by false accusation, I will restore fourfold." Think about Zacchaeus. "Half of my goods I give." Psalm 42:1 promises, "The man that considers the poor shall be delivered in time of trouble." Zacchaeus gave 50% of his goods to the poor. How many people? How many organizations even come close to anything like that? I know sometimes in the media we read about all of these welfare social programs and such. You know, that doesn't come to a drop in the bucket compared to our resources. Our gross national product, $4 trillion out of our national budget. It's only a small amount of social legislation of those who cannot help themselves. Not meaning social security system where folks are paid into a system. I'm talking about other programs. Here's Zacchaeus, "Half of my goods I give to the poor." Now that didn't mean that he didn't continue to give up. That didn't include the tithe and maybe a lot of other offerings. He said, "Half of the goods I give to the poor." You know, the Lord always blesses a person, an individual. The Lord always blesses a nation. The Lord always blesses a church that's considerate of poor. It's true all the way through. The Lord always blesses. Zacchaeus had given half of his goods to the poor. And he said, if I've taken anything fraudulently, a false accusation, he said, I'll repay four times. That's what the law said. Notice he was willing for there to be restitution. Restitution. Well, Zacchaeus is one of the most remarkable people in the Scripture. Man who wanted to see Jesus. A man in his life who had been generous to those who were in need. And willing to restore or anything might be wrong. We sometimes read of money that's sent to Washington as conscience money, it's called. Where someone said, now I owe this or that amount and I didn't report it or I didn't do what I should have done, and so it's conscience money. Every now and then something makes the newspaper like this. But Zacchaeus was willing to restore. If I've done anything wrong, fraudulently, anything wrong from any man, I'll restore it fourfold. And Jesus said, today salvation come to your house. I don't know how many people there were in that crowd that day. It must have been a large group. But the only one we know about that really encountered Jesus was this one little man. I know about the others. This one man. Out of that crowd, out of that throng, one person came really to know Jesus. And he was the one man that the others all despised. He was the one man to whom Jesus said, today is salvation come to your house. Doesn't this say to us that sometimes our verdict and our opinion and our conclusion about a whole lot of people may not always be right? It may be that the person that stands tall in God's sight is maybe sometimes the person we don't recognize and realize. We don't know because we don't understand our lack of understanding. Zacchaeus can be a great lesson to us in that we need with all haste to serve Jesus. We need with all haste to do what He says for us to do. Now, Zacchaeus was blessed because he did what Jesus asked. He came down out of that tree, surrendered his life. Jesus went home with him, and the Lord said, salvation has come to your house this day. Now, Jesus wants to be in our life. He wants to be in our home. He wants to be a part of our every moment if we'll let Him. He's willing to come into our life, to be a part of our home, to be a part of everything about us, if we'll let Him. If you're not a Christian, you need to surrender your life to Jesus, believing in Him with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized. If you have obeyed the gospel, you haven't been true to your commitment, you need to turn back to Jesus in repentance. Surely today would be a wonderful opportunity to take that step as Jesus invites you, as we encourage you, as we stand together and sing.